Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is Week 9, Day 1. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about John 17, 1 through 26. You can find show notes at 10weekbible.com/John Week 9. Well, welcome to the podcast today, and thanks for joining me. I encourage all my listeners to read the book of John once a week for 10 weeks as we go through this. You really will be amazed at the benefits of repetition. Let's go ahead and pray before we start. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today? Would you teach us about you? Would you give us the grace to know you more through this study? In Jesus' name, amen. With that, let's jump into John. I'll be reading from the NIV today, and this is John 17, 1 through 26 today. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." So, just a little context here, and I think it's important to remember exactly what's going on here. These are some of the last prayers. These are the last prayers that John records Jesus praying. Now, we know from the other Gospels that Jesus actually prayed more when they got to the garden. We know that the disciples fell asleep while he was praying. These are prayers that Jesus is praying before he goes to the garden. At least that's the context that John gives us. It might possibly be that these are some of the prayers that John overheard Jesus praying in the garden, and they're a little out of tempo here. Remember that John is not necessarily a chronological book, so these could have possibly been prayers in the garden, but it appears like they were prayers that Jesus prayed before the garden. But at any rate, I love this because these are the prayers that are basically the last words of Jesus as recorded by John before his crucifixion, at least to the disciples, or in the disciples' presence. And so this gives us a picture of the intensity. I mean, Jesus right now is feeling the weight of what's going on. And I really want to just pause for a minute and give you a recommendation that I have that I've loved for years. And if you haven't heard of it, I really recommend and encourage you to buy a copy of Rick Larson's Bethlehem Star video. You can get it at bethlehemstar.net. He explains, it's just an amazing video. He goes beyond the Bethlehem Star, but that's what he was originally fascinated by, was the star. But he ends up delving into a lot more, and it was based on his study of the astronomy of the star. And so he went looking for more things that were astronomical, and what he found was the day of the crucifixion of Jesus, there were many astronomical things that actually have prophetic significance in Scripture. There's actually prophetic words in Scripture, in Joel and other places, prophesying about the day of Jesus' crucifixion. And so when you kind of put all that together, knowing what we know about Scripture and understanding the significance of the astronomical events, we realize, and what he shows in that video series, is that all of the stars and planets and everything that's been flung into place are like a mathematical clock. Ever since God put them there, they have behaved very routinely. Like we know predictably where they are, where they're going to be, and where they have been because of the math behind it. And so what we understand from that is that God, at creation, when he flung these stars into place, knew this very moment that's coming. And here Jesus is, the Creator, knowing from the very hour of creation that this moment was coming, and here he is. Here he is at the very moment that they chose from the creation of the world. Before sin entered the world, they knew this moment was coming. And it's fascinating. It blows my mind. And the intensity that Jesus is feeling right now, I think is amazing. On to verse 6. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew them with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. So this is really an amazing passage here. I mean, Jesus is now, he said that he has protected these 11 while they were with him. And now he's asking God to protect them while he's gone. So I love this prayer for protection, but he's not praying for protection necessarily just for their physical bodies or their lives. He's praying for protection against the enemy, against Satan. He doesn't want Satan to pluck any of these away or steal them away from him. And regardless of how you think about that, where you fall on kind of this once saved, always saved idea, regardless of how you think about this, this is a very powerful prayer coming from Jesus. He does not want those that God has given him to be plucked away by Satan. He doesn't want the enemy to destroy their lives. I think this is a powerful prayer. I believe that this is a prayer that goes beyond just the 11 or the soon-to-be 12 apostles again, but it goes to all of us. Like, the Lord has chosen us, and he desires that none of us would fall away, that we would not be taken in by the plots and the plans of the enemy. He doesn't want our life destroyed by the plans of the enemy. So he wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to be continually made holy in the presence of God. I love this prayer. Jesus so loved us. And it goes back to, the beautiful passage of John 3:16. God so loved us that he sent his son into the world in the end to die for us. And here he is right before that moment. He knows what's coming. He's prepared to die for us while we were yet in sin. And he's asking his Father that through this, that God would sanctify us, that he would make us holy and pure, just as he is holy and pure. And he's asking that we would be in God and in Jesus, the same way that the Father and Jesus are one. That is so powerful. He wants to share with us the communion and fellowship that he has with his Father. We don't deserve it, yet he wants to grant that to us. And we have been granted that. It's an amazing, beautiful, holy thing that God has given to us. On to verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Again, I think this is so powerful. Jesus is praying for the disciples' message that they're going to take to the world. And I think this is an amazing illustration of the partnership that God has given us. Jesus very easily could have brought all of the world under the dominion of his rule. He is the Messiah. But he chose not to do that at this time. He chose partnership with human beings. He became a human being. He became human flesh and then chose partnership with human flesh, you and me, to take this message of the gospel to the ends of the earth, to every single person, man, woman, and child that we can reach. And he prayed for us that we would do that, that the world would hear us, that the world would listen to us. I think this is very powerful, and we shouldn't take this lightly. This is a charge and a prayer that Jesus has given over us, is that he wants us to take this message of the gospel to the ends of the earth, and that he wants us to be one in him as he and the Father are one. It's so powerful, inexpressibly powerful and beautiful. That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm so glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes, and I'd love to hear from you on my Facebook page. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back next time with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.